Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who
Amen, amen, amen. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. The power of that song just lets us know God can take anybody and use him for his purpose and his will. He can take those that the world sees as least and take the average individual, take that ordinary and have them to do extraordinary things. This is the God that we serve. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Again, I love the scripture that tells us from Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those who find it, and medicine to all thy flesh. Health is what we're looking for. God's word wants us to be healthy, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically, and financially and socially. God wants to cover every area of our life. But the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to indulge ourselves in the power of God's word. This is why it's so important that we do what we do every week, every day. Someone is delivering God's message, the good news, the gospel, to let you know the power of God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name, for this is the day you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why are we rejoicing, Father God? Because you sent your only begotten son, because you loved us so much as you loved him, that you, Father God, would sacrifice him for us. Despite our actions, despite our denials, despite we continue to sometimes fall short, Father God, yet you still provide your love for us. And Father God, I know there are some who have been hurt, Father God, by society, by the world, by other individuals, and even they have hurt other individuals themselves. We all fall short of the glory. But I thank you, Father God, for those who have lost hope in you, who have lost trust in you, because they allow Satan to get into their head and become a distraction, a deception, to make them believe that you don't love them. But we know you love them. And because of that, Father God, I'm praying right now for those who have not accepted you, Father God, who have turned their back on you for whatever reason. Just like Peter, you told Peter that he would deny you, but you allow Peter to come back into the fold. Just like the prodigal son's father, when his son returned, he welcomed him with open arms. I thank you, Father God, for those that don't know you, that they accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. They will confess at some point, if not now, Father God, with their mouth and begin to believe in their heart, Father God, that Jesus was born, Jesus walked the earth, Jesus healed, Jesus delivered, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus stood at the right hand in fellowship with you, Father God, because we know because of this, Father God, we are set free. And they can be set free from that bondage. All they have to do is just accept you. I thank you, Father God, for such a God as you are for us. And I pray right now, Father God, for anybody on this line, Father God, as they've received you and for those who already have, I know that life still does not change the way it do business at times. That the negatives, Father God, the challenges, the storms, the waves, they will come at you. The mountains will be in the way. But I thank you, right, Father God, right now, that you told us, have faith in you through Jesus. That in the name of Jesus, Father God, that we say unto these mountains, be thou removed, cast into the sea. Do not doubt in our heart, but believe these things which we pray shall come to pass. It shall be so. So as I'm praying right now, Father God, I'm praying over everyone on this line, those who are not on this line. I'm praying for the world, Father God, the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, and every individual, and that 8.7 billion people that exist and growing, Father God. I'm praying over their lives right now, Father. I'm praying and uniting with people right now in other countries who are praying right now, Father God. We're coming to shake up heaven right now, Father God, for you to turn it around, for you to turn it around. We know that trials and tribulations and turbulence would come, Father God, but we thank you that you've given us the weaponry, Father God, from you that is mighty from you, Father God. Pull down the strongholds to get in the way. Cast down the imaginations and thought to try to exalt itself against you. And bring it all into the captivity of Christ. But we thank you, Father God. So I pray right now, Father God, God bears stripes for Jesus Christ, who said those 39 stripes on his back for us. That blood, Father God, I plead it over everyone. If they need healing, they're healed. That every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system will operate in divine condition and operate in the way that you intended it to be. I rebuke any sickness and disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, Father God. I rebuke depression, anxiety. I rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming the authority of Jesus Christ right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, anyone who's sitting alone or feel alone, I thank you. They will know they're not alone because you said you never leave us or forsake us. I claim that right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, anyone who's struggling financially, that the windows of heaven blessing will pour blessing upon them. They wouldn't have room enough to contain it. But Father God, they receive so much, all they can do is be a cheerful giver and give it away. I thank you right now, Father God. So as I go forward today, Father God, I bless and pray, Father God, over families. Families will unite right now. Come closer right now. They will build on the love that is patient and kind, not jealous or boastful, not arrogant or rude, rejoicing in truth and not in evil, Father God. The love that, Father, keeps no record of wrong. The love that is slow to anger. This love, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, will always protect, always create hope, always build trust. This love, Father God, will never fail because you are love and your word does not return void. I thank you, Father God. And as I go forward, Father God, continue to let me decrease every day. Chip away a little bit of me every day and bring a whole lot of you above me, Father God, in me, Father God, through me, Father God, that I may walk, talk, and think more in line with the word and have the mind and heart of Christ. As I go forward now, let these words you imparted in my heart be able to be delivered with accuracy and proficiency. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I say hallelujah, I say hallelujah, I say hallelujah, the battle is already won. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you. Well, today's quote, and I am really pumped up. I'm pumped up because every time I think about what I'm doing, I just get so excited that I'm going forward and spreading the good news. You know, it is so wonderful to be able to talk about God. And when I meet with other people, talk about God. People call me to talk about God. People call me to pray to God. This is amazing to me. It is mind-blowing to me. As the old song said, didn't I blow your mind this time? God has blown my mind that he is using me, that nobody, that he now making a somebody to tell everybody that he can turn anybody around. I praise God for it. But the quote for the day is, the most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said. Peter Drucki. Stephen Covey says, trust in the glue of life. It trusts the glue of life. It is the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It is the foundational principle that holds all relationships. Ain't nobody going to talk to you if they don't trust you. Trust is so essential. I know it's so essential because it's one of the key elements that love always do. It builds trust. Hallelujah. Communication to a relationship is like oxygen is to life. Without it, it dies. Let me say that again. Communication to a relationship is like oxygen is to life. You know, God gives us his breath and strength. He communicated into the universe to create the world. This is how powerful communication is. And I always like to say, it ain't just communication, it's participation. Faith without words is dead. You need to do something. You need to act. You need to act. You need to communicate. Conflict avoidance is not the hallmark of a good relationship. On the contrary, it is a symptom of serious problems and poor communication. Avoidance doesn't help. When we avoid to communicate about what we are experiencing and our emotions or thinking in our mind, it doesn't help because all it causes it to do is to cause your emotions to attack you. It allows Satan to attempt to kill, steal, and destroy. Because we're not communicating. You'll be harboring anger, animosity, grudge, ill will. So avoidance doesn't resolve the issue. It just continues to fester. Hallelujah. A relationship without communication is just two people. Let me say that again. A relationship without communication is just two people. And last but not least, to effectively communicate, we must realize that we are all different in the way we perceive the world and use these understandings as a guideline to our communication with others. See, we're all unique. There's no one like you. When God made you as his masterpiece, you are the unique masterpiece that no one else could ever be. No one could ever be like you. And when we find ourselves communicating to ourselves the negatives or the opposite of what God has taken time to design, oh, we're denying God again. We need to speak what he say about it. You are my masterpiece. You are my workmanship. He took time to design us. So there's no reason for us to buy into the lies and the deception that Satan creates through people, because he used the host to make us feel that we're nobody, because God said that we are somebody to him. So much so, he would send his son to die for us. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2:16, but avoid irrelevant babble, for it will lead people into a more and more ungodliness. Unnecessary talking, it has no substance. I often when I'm talking to people, I can hold a pretty decent conversation with most folks, but I don't do a whole lot of just nonsense talking. And that sometimes that may deem me to be a little boring because, again, I'm always about, if you will, substance in my conversation. What is it going to do to help elevate, motivate, encourage you to be the best you can be? I don't do a whole lot of chit-chatting. That's unnecessary. And then Matthew 12:36 says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. See, we got to be careful because words have power. Why I know it has power? Because God created the world through the words he spoke. Through the words he spoke. Then he sent his word to us to heal us and redeem us from our own destruction. That's power. That's power. Then Proverbs 21:23 tells us, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. There used to be a song saying, you talk too much. Sometimes when we're just running off at the mouth with no substance, talking loud and saying nothing, We get ourselves in these pickles. This is how lies produce itself. Speaking before you think. Your mind is running and your mouth is running, but they're not simultaneously going together. One is outdoing the other. But if you let the mind take control, because God gave us not the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, you can control that tongue. He who bridles the tongue controls himself. Hallelujah. At 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husband, live with your wife in an understanding way. Brenda Lee and Jerry Butler had a song called Ain't Understanding Mellow. See, in all things, we should get understanding. So husbands, boyfriends, friends who are talking to their wives, the girlfriend or the female they know, you should attempt to get understanding, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, not weaker in the sense that she's not equal to you, but weaker because you value her like a precious jewel, like a lovely rose. And since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You do not want something to hinder your prayer. You want it to go up and come back down. You want it to flow accordingly. This is why it's so essential that we honor God's word. And honoring God's word, since Christ is the word, the words we speak should be also honored. Hallelujah. So I want to share with you a little few stories. I call them today. Effective communication and love. Hallelujah. Today I want to share this because, as Peter Drucker mentioned, the most important thing in communications is hearing what isn't being said. See, my granddaddy told me that. You got to pay attention to what people are not saying, because the verbal communication is a small percentage of the communication. So you got to take in the whole package. And sometimes effective communication comes wrapped in the five love languages. But today, you will have to think goes online where they fall in these five categories. The first one is sharing. Today, I was traveling in Kenya, and I met a refugee in Zimbabwe. And he said he hadn't eaten anything in 3 days, and he looked extremely skinny and unhealthy. Then my friend offered him the rest of the sandwich he was eating. The first thing the man said was, we can share it. Hallelujah. Kindness. Today, a boy in a wheelchair saw me desperately struggling on crutches with my broken leg. He offered to carry my backpack and books for me. He helped me all the way across the campus to my class, and as he was leaving, he said, I hope you feel better soon. Visualize these people. Joy. Today, I witnessed a 27-year-old breast cancer patient laughing hysterically at her 2-year-old daughter's antics. I suddenly realized that I needed to stop complaining about my life and start celebrating again with joy. Innocent. Today, in the cutest voice, my 8-year-old daughter asked me to start recycling. I chuckled and asked, why? She replied, so I can help save the planet. And why do you want to save the planet? Because there is where I keep all my stuff, she said. Affection. Today, I kissed my dad on the forehead as he passed away in a small hospital. About 5 seconds after he passed, I realized it was the first time I had given him a kiss since I was a little boy. Love conquers pain. Today, I watched my dog get run over by a car. I sat on the side of the road holding my head and crying. And just before my little dog passed away, he licked the tears off my face. Looking back, today I interviewed my grandmother as a part of a research paper I was working on for my psychology class. When I asked her to define success in her own words, she said, success is when you look back over your life and the memories you made make you smile. Hallelujah. You see, effective communication comes in all forms of presentation, but it's only effective when we are open to receive what is being communicated, whether through words or deeds that met the present need. As we can see, it doesn't matter whom presents it, a child, a mother, a grandmother, a dog, a fireman, or a disabled individual. You see, Luke tells us in 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. It's all about us effectively communicating our love for each other in some form or fashion. Comes down to this fact. Are we open to appreciate the communication that is being shared with us? And can we learn from the experience what life is trying to communicate us through God? You see, God love is always there, trying to effectively communicate to us. All we have to do is have a heart to believe, a mind open to receive, and a willingness to trust his plan for our lives as he effectively communicates to us in love. This moves us into the next part of our show, learning how to love. Effective communication through godly love. You see, I've addressed much on the subject of learning how to love, ranging from understanding various types of love such as eros, passionate love, philia, deep friendship love, stoke, family love, agape, the God universal love. And then we looked at how to understand love from the five love languages, which was word of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. We addressed the expression of love, but today I want to look at effective communication of love. Important because many of us believe we have a good grasp on effective communication as it relates to love, or do we? I listen to many people discuss their perspective on love, and for the most part, each person's version of the concept is within reason of comprehension. I say this because their views and who can challenge anyone's personal ideal or interpretation of love, because it's their view. And because for the most part, individual understanding what type of love they are experiencing will vary from person to person with any given moment in life. As Tony Robbins said, every one of us is unique. So our experience, our personal way of interpreting it, our personal way of showing it, our personal way of receiving it is all different. As well as how they, and again, the way is how people express and receive love is right for them. See, what's right for me is an old song. It used to be a series. I can't, different stroke. What's right for you may not be right for me, and what's right for me may not be right for you. That's why it has different strokes to move the world. And as the old song said, love makes the world go round. And this is true. But the problem is when we step outside of our own perspective to engage someone else into our ideal of the world, this is where the question mark comes up. Why? Because we are now asking someone to see it from our camera, and in many cases, we desire that they believe what we believe and what we see from our lens. However, we know the example of using a camera or a lens, that every photographer sees something different from the lens he is viewing it from. Also true about love. Therefore, it's essential that when we are formulating our ideal concept or theory about love, and I'm not downplaying the power of love, but it's important that we recognize that, again, that the meaning of love comes in different form or fashion according to the individual. But if our ideal of love is just for ourselves, but when we're trying to express it to others, we must be ready for the receiver who is interpreting our view not to grasp our meaning clearly without some form of effective communication. Without effective communication. So what is effective communication? Here's a brief definition. Effective communication depends on three factors: content, context, and the receiver. Content is the actual word or symbol that constitute a part of the message, known as language. So when we communicate, the other person notices what we say, how we say it, and what he or she knows about the subject. Let me repeat that. The three factors: content, context, and the receiver. Context is the actual words or symbol that constitute a part of the message, known as language. So when we communicate, the other person notices that what we say, how we say it, and what he or she knows about the subject. So let's make it real simple. So if a parent is talking to their child and you trying to talk about the theory of relativity, they may not get it because they're only 5 years old, unless they're a unique prodigy or a genius within themselves. So you got to make sure that the subject that you're addressing is relevant to the person receiving it. The words that you use need to be comprehensible to the individual that's taking it in. You got to make it age appropriate for in this particular case. Here's some other key components about effective communication. Nonverbal communication. Nonverbal communication could be body language. So you telling someone that you love them, but you got your arms folded, you got your a grimace on your face, you saying something different, opposite to your word. You got to be open-minded. See, again, as you as the receiver or you the deliverer have to be open to understand that sometimes people just don't get it right away. And then you got to know who you're talking to, because sometimes you could be talking to someone that you think understand it, but they don't grasp it. That's why when you're looking at students in a classroom and there's 30 students, each student is comprehending or understanding to the level that they are at. So just because you get it and you raise your hand and say, I understand it, and you want to pick at Bobby because he don't know, it's because Bobby may be at a different level. Not that Bobby is lesser or greater, just at a different level. His ability or her ability is just different to understand. This happens in a one-on-one love relationship. Then there's the key word. I love people say, you know, they say, you ain't hearing me. Yes, I hear you, because I heard the lawn service people outside, but I wasn't actively listening to them because I wasn't trying to engage into that. Active listening means that you're willing to engage yourself, stop being preoccupied with what you want to say, and go in to listen, to hear. Now it makes sense. We say you have to have ears to hear, because even when the ear gates are open, you got to now turn on that or activate that listening skill to put into a clear mindset in place so you can understand what's being delivered. Then there's reflection. Now you take the information that's being shared and you reflect on it. You meditate on it. Meditate on the word day and night. See, as you meditate on something, clarity starts to come into place, because now, you're actively taking that information, engaged yourself so you can understand what was presented to you. That one. You also need to be actively listening to yourself talking. As I'm talking right now, I'm listening to myself. When I get off the phone, I review myself. When I get through with my day, I review myself. What did I say? How did I say it? Did I say it inappropriately? Did I say something wrong? Did I offend somebody? Not to put myself on a guilt trip, but to be able to take the time to recognize, first, I got to be held accountable for myself. Remember, we talked about last week, you got to learn to love yourself. But if I don't listen to what I say about myself or to someone else, I may impede the ability for that love to flow back to me. So you have to actively listen to yourself. Then we have to be careful with that, because I can turn out to sound like narcissistic or egotistical. But also that I can also be revealing. I love you. I care about you. I value you. I feel that you are important to me. I believe that you're the most valuable person that walks in my life today. Hallelujah. Then compromise. See, communication is expansive. And I like to say, many times people don't teach us this early on. So young people turn around and they get into these relationships. And when they get into these relationships, they think they got this communication going. But again, they're just running, babbling, irrelevant information. So they're not talking to each other. But let's move it up to the more middle-aged and seasonal people. People been together 20 years and don't talk about anything that's relevant. So when they show up in my office talking about divorce, 9 times out of 10, they didn't even know each other. See, they were actively involved, engaged, spending out energy, but you took on this person to say, I will love you to death do you part. But you give only 20% of your heart. See, when you get engaged into a relationship, and I'm not just going to talk about marriage, I'm talking about father to son, father to daughter, mother to son, mother to daughter, and on and on and on. It should be a connection, a building. You know, many times people come to a funeral and they go talking about an individual they didn't even know. They knew of them, but they didn't know them. As I was talking today to my elder, who is so wise, who I love because she has the same spirit in this place as I do, she's self-revealing. And she was telling us that she went to the movie theater to see Aretha Franklin's movie, and when she realized she had to stand in a long line, she got irritated. But she was able to maintain that self-control so it didn't come out what she was experiencing or feeling. But she recognized the irritability that existed. But she realized she had to compromise because the pastor had gathered them together, and lo, when she was having the thought and was getting a little worked up, here the pastor stepped up with the ticket. See, God knows how to work. But she was able to get that self-control. So compromise is about self-control. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit starts with love and ends with self-control. So I say effective communication because people communicate every day. But if the presenter is not invested in ensuring that the receiver understands the message being sent forward, and the receiver is not open to understand the message, then the communication will be lost in translation. This is why people say, I didn't say that. No, that's not what I meant. Well, we need to break the communication down so we can get the right translation. It's just like I used to have interpreters in Iraq and Afghanistan. They could break down the language so that people could, under Afghanis and Iraqis, could understand what I was saying when I gave them an assignment. See, this thing called love, this thing called the power of words that we talk about needs to be broken down to the least common denominator. See, I'm talking now about things that's so important. You know, people bring to my attention a lot of things that I just don't think that's important. I was at a board meeting last night, and they were hemming and hawing and getting all worked about things. I thought to myself, really? Is this that important? Now, I kept it to myself thinking this is just time wasting because it always came back to I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, those I don't like, is that about collectively coming together so we can move towards the common goal or the mission for the organization I'm a part of, or is it about you? See, when you're talking, again, are your I statements about you, or is it about the mutual reward that should be gained if you're among people or just a one-on-one conversation with someone? So what ends up happening, if it's about you, it produces a superficial meaning of the power of love with communication. Therefore, when challenges by the cares of life show up, it will increase the probability of love, and the love language is being breaking under pressure. See, you're going to get tested. See, when people talk good, I say all the time, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You say you can lift 100 pounds, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to put the pressure on you. I'm gonna put the weight, put the bar on the weight bench, and when I put the bar on, I'm gonna put these plates on, and when I put these plates on, and it's gonna be 50 on one and 50 on the other, I got 100 pounds. You said you could lift it. I never seen you lift it, so now I'm gonna even spot you and lift it up for you. I'm gonna help you out, but then when I let go, the pressure's on. Now we find out what you're made of. See, that's the ticket right there. What are we made of? What are we about? Are we just talking? See, so many times you say, praise the Lord, I love Jesus, I love you, man, I love you, that. Okay, I'll find out when the pressure is on. Can you be consistent in your effective communication that one would know and be able to stand up and say, this person is not just a man of God, but a man of his word? Or a woman of his word. You see, again, Proverbs 18:21 tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Does each word used carry some power that either it will be effective in a positive way or ineffective in a negative way? Therefore, as an individual, we should govern our words not just for what we want as a result of them, but also how we want them to produce a positive outcome to those who we are communicating with. So let's take a story from the present day and one from the Word of God in both accounts to see how this play out. You see, there was a couple who was looking forward to a long-awaited date night. It was the time of the year for their mutual birthday, and the wife had plans for a group of friends to meet them for a surprise party for her husband at a favorite Chinese restaurant. As they drove away, the husband suggested, hey, let's go out to Mexican food. His wife calmly said, I really prefer Chinese food tonight, dear. The husband came back. No, I really want a big enchilada. And they went back and forth, and it became obvious that the wife, that he had chose to be demanding, unreasonable, and interested only in his own full gratification. Finally, she screamed in frustration, "You dope. I have a surprise party planned for you at the Chinese restaurant. We have to go there." To her great frustration, he bust out laughing, which made her even more angry. He laughed so hard that it took 5 minutes for him to tell her he had planned a surprise party for her at the Mexican restaurant. Communication. This story shows us how important effective communication is for a healthy relationship. Before she knew the truth, see, this is the other thing. Sometimes we don't see the big picture. But before she knew the truth, she thought he was being obstinate and selfish. He probably thought the same thing about her. You see what happens in our communication? Because sometimes with avoidance or not effectively communicating a clear picture. But actually, both of them were motivated not by selfishness, but by love. Each was seeking to please his or her mate. Remember I told you last week, if you wake up saying, "Honey, what can I do for you?" And the other one says, "What can I do for you?" There's no time for taking and giving. It's only room for receiving. That's what they were doing. But their communication was compromised. While their short-lived communication breakdown was humorous, it's not always so funny. Communication problems are the major factor for most marital breakups. Now let's look at Peter out of 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, all of you, be of like mind, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and sees the good days must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from deceitful speech. And this ain't just talking about you cussing somebody out. You can be deceitful in your speech and break people down in a heartbeat. We're never using one profane word, at least the ones we all know about, the colorful ones, if you will. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You see, the apostle shows us how to communicate in an effective, godly way is so important in this context. Peter is dealing with how Christians are to live as pilgrims in a difficult world. In 1 Peter 2:11-12, he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against the soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." You see, Peter's followers were suffering. He offered practical help for the difficult relationships we all encounter in this troubled world. He points out that we should submit even to government authorities. And we know sometimes the people who are in official roles, they're not always so cool. They always got together. By their role and their status and position, you would think it'd be so, but not always. He said to submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or the governor, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Don't take advantage. Don't take it for granted. Live as God's slave. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. Let me go back here and say, show proper respect. They made the title Aretha Franklin's song, Respect. The movie. I haven't seen the movie, but that's what the title is, Respect. And I remember the Staples singer said, "If you don't respect yourself, how ain't nobody going to give a hoot about you? You got to respect yourself and others." Then it says, "A slave should submit to abusive master." Now, that's hard, especially for African-American people. What you talking about? What you talking about? But Jesus was almost like a slave to the Romans. They chained him. They hung him on the tree. They whipped him. We get the picture, especially from the movie of the Passion of Christ. For 1 Peter 2:18-20 says, slave, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your master, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of injustice, unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. Here's this word here, conscious of God. See, Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego were conscious of God. Daniel was conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. That's who we stand for. See, we don't just, as old saying, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. We're not falling for anything anymore. We stand for God. This is what I love about the story of Stephen unto death. Stephen stood for God. To this you will be called because God suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insult at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judged him justly. He himself bore our sins on his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. Jesus, in this form of abusive communication coming to him, whether physically or through the words, Jesus endured. He persevered. He took on this punishment. He took on what we deserve to get to show us as an example, a model of what we may have to endure. But see, we come cushioned. We come soft. We become weakened in our constitution. And as I was saying today in Bible study, I know part is because we've been conditioned through the world, paired this way. And as we do our children the same way, I know that every generation wants the next generation to have a little better. But as we go along, we make it too good. And so therefore, a child builds no muscle, no spiritual muscle, no emotional muscle. So when life brings its challenges, they ain't ready. And it can be done all with the power of words. A young child will take their life because they open up the computer. Now, you don't even have to do this, but they open up the computer because subliminally they've been conditioned. You need to go and see what people are saying. And they go on there and they say these negative words. These words, remember I said, have power. That's without love. And they say they don't have value. They tell them they are nobody. They ain't got nothing. They're trash. And they give in. But when we teach our children to understand God's word and build their foundation on the rock, that when the waves come to try to knock them around, they can sustain themselves. Because when the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, that's okay. Because they know that God, Christ came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. God came and gave us armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of spirit, the shield of faith, the soldier up. God gave us God's angels to minister to us, to comfort us, to protect us, to deliver us. God gave us his weaponry. But if you don't know what the weaponry is, you can't fight. If we don't train our soldiers in basic how to use AM-16, they can't fight. If we don't show them how to use a 50 cal or 249, they can't fight. If we don't teach them how to do hand-to-hand combat, they can't fight. They're beating soldiers before they even get in the battle. Peter shows us why I should submit to a disobedient husband. What you talking about? 1 Peter 3:1-12 said, wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husband so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Communication, people. That wife is representing. Despite the hubs, I don't believe in that mess. That preacher ain't doing but trying to get your money. I'm sick of this buster riding around the Cadillac, and I'm out here riding the Pinto. He wearing $1,000 suits. He riding around in jets, and I can barely put gas in the car. But she keep on pressing on. She keep on loving on. She becomes a woman of Proverbs 31. That she makes her family proud. She makes her husband proud. She makes her children proud. She makes the community proud. And because of her model, her representation, her outward communication, that husband breaks. Breaks. I remember a gentleman wouldn't speak to me for nothing. Caucasian fellow. He wouldn't speak every morning. Hey, how you doing, Sarge? How you doing? This went on for months. We would be in our little kitchen whipping up our little stuff. He whipped his stuff. I whipped my stuff. He would not speak to me. So one day, I was distracted. One day, I didn't want to speak to him. I was just distracted. And next thing I know, he said, hey, Sarge, how's it going? I turned around and said, I broke him. Now, I won't say I, but in this moment, I did. Broke him. Continuity, consistency. I continued through my communication assuring that he had value by speaking to him. He realized that, wait a minute, I missed something. This man communicated to me when I don't communicate back to him. He maintained the continuity that he broke me. But he didn't even know what happened. Jesus was working. Husbands should understand and honor thy wife. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husband, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. There's that word again, respect. Treat them with respect. Treat them as a precious jewel. The love songs that we hear, they're the diamond. I love you more today than yesterday, but not as half as much as tomorrow. Treat them like they solid gold. But I say this to why, you got to understand how you're being treated. See, too many wives, too many girlfriends, too many women I hear about today, and the people complaining, and both parties complaining, men are complaining, women complaining. But again, you got to work on you. Remember I talked about last week, you got to love yourself. It's very difficult to receive love when you don't even love yourself. But you think you do because you dress nice. You look nice. You got the bling bling and the bang bang. But see, the outward things, and I tell women all the time, when they made you, they broke the mold for you being a unique individual, but not you as a female. There are millions of females. There's one being born right now. So what makes you stand out? That woman of Proverbs 31, you stand out. You're the representation by your behavior, by your values and principles, by your standard, speaking truth, living truth, being one that motivates your husband. My friend was talking to him last night. Him and his that's a beautiful story. But anyway, him and his wife got together. He ends up with Legionnaire's disease. And he was telling about, he wasn't talking about dying, but he was weak. And his wife came and said, baby, we ain't having that. I ain't never seen you weak. I ain't going to stop now. And he couldn't eat nothing. He became concerned, but she brought in some strawberries. He said, man, I didn't eat none of these people the hospital was bringing. Not because I ain't like hospital. I didn't want to eat. But she brought these beautiful strawberries. And, man, I don't know what it was. I just let me taste one. I told the baby, go and get me some more. And it started it all back up. See, waking up to give. See, when we learn to give, we begin to live. No farmer has ever got a harvest that never planted a seed. Ladies, you got to be willing to give. And you can't use yesterday's man for today's present man. I have a friend that in some situation happened, and she says, do people break up for this? I said, don't allow your past to mess up your present on your blessing. You keep being so selective when you telling me this man is this, 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 this. And my mother, I say, play the 80-20 rule. If he 80% good, work with the other 20%. I say, don't mess up. And so this is the third year. I said, oh, God going to bless you. So in the third year, it comes around. Here he is. But be holding on to that negativity, those lies that Satan put in your head. And remember, keeping no record of wrong. Sometimes keeping record of wrong of another relationship impacts the relationship you in now. Because you preoccupied with what Joe did. I didn't see the movie, but I know a lot about Aretha Franklin. I know she had this guy named Ted White who abused her. Then Terman ended up abusing her. But she pressed on. Yes, past relations happened. Why? Because these people, these men, to be more specific, haven't spiritually matured yet. Because when you're spiritually mature, you don't abuse your mate. You love on them. You love on them. You love on them. It's like a good Barry White song. Oh, you love on them. Because you tell them, I got so much to give. And it's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take years. That's what we're supposed to do. Husbands, that's what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah. And then Peter showed us about the persecution of the church, showing bearing up against suffering when wrong is being displayed. In 1 Peter 3:13-16, he said, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." Wow. Somebody abusing and persecuting you. But he tells you, be strong, be courageous. But in your heart, revere Christ our Lord. That's what them three boys did in Daniel. They were courageous. Yeah, go on, throw us in there. God got this. And if not, feel cool with it. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give, the reason for hope that you have. The reason for hope. God said, I give you a hope and a future. That's my plan. See, we don't really gravitate to the power of these words. If we did, we would hold our head up high, not in narcissism or pride or egotism, but we would hold our head up high because we're looking and giving God honor and praise for the blessing of giving us these words. He put a good thing in our mouth. We need to believe this. And when Satan showed up, and I was telling him today, Satan shows up in my head all the time. Man, he loved dancing in my head. I got a pass or something else. But the world would say it was cool. But he loved to show up in my head. But I now can say to him, Jesus, get behind me. Get behind me. See, the man who keeps the plow and keeps his head moving forward, don't look back. There's an old Temptation song, don't look back. If it's love that you're running from, ain't no hiding place, because love going to be with you. Don't end your faith in love because of what other human beings have done. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Always be prepared to give an answer, as I mentioned. And then he says, keep a clear conscience. But do, let me back up, but do this with gentleness and respect and keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Make them ashamed, not you. Make them ashamed. I put that back to that gentleman. I kept speaking, maybe felt ashamed. Oh, I woke up. Thus, as we attempt to learn about love, being reminded that we are to love our God and find the balance as we strive to love our neighbors as ourselves in a healthy manner, our expression of godly love will develop into a consistency developing and knowing how to effectively communicate in any given situation that we place in. Whether it's with authority, human masters, disobedient husband, or wives, or in the depths of persecution, we must submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human being. What I'm saying, effective communication is effective when our heart and mind and soul is aligned with God, with Christ, and the heart and mind of Christ, if you will. For 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Remember, he told us in Timothy, "I did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." A sound mind, a sound mind, a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind that is in line with the heart and mind of Christ. See, Solomon understood this when he asked for knowledge and wisdom. See, we should seek wisdom. Men, I will use this loosely here, men, we should seek wisdom because they call her a lady. See, now when you seek this lady called wisdom, she will give you this guidance. She will give you God instruction. She will give you direction. She will show you how to be protected. She'll show you how to make wise decisions. She'll show you how to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. She will help you. And in turn, as you really pursue the fleshly woman, you'll be lined up for it. I don't have a whole lot of time. We got a lot of information, so I'm going to go a little further, and then we'll pick it up next week. I just want to give you this. Effective communication requires that we turn from evil and do good in our walk. We're going to pursue that next week. Effective godly communication requires that we do good because it's so important that we be able to walk in the way that God wants us to walk. This good is not that touchy-feely thing we're talking about. We're talking about lining ourselves up with God, and I'm going to break that down next week. And there will be some key elements. I'll point them out right now. We'll be in harmony with others. meaning we'll have the same mind and right attitude. We'll be sympathetic, affected by like feelings. We'll be brotherly. We'll show this brotherly love to each other. We'll be kind-hearted, tender-hearted, showing compassion. And I'm going to break all this down next week. And we'll have a humble spirit, this lowliness in mind. Not that you become John or Sally Doormat. No, but you become humble, like Jesus who dropped to his knees to wash Peter's feet, wash all the disciples' feet. Jesus was not lesser, he was greater. See, we learn to move away from our own selfishness. See, the word tells again, it is not self-seeking. Now, we should seek to take care of self as a preservation. Love always preserved, but that's as good as it gets. And God is not opposed to us having the blessings he provides. We just can't let the blessings become possessions. And this is what happened mostly in the world concept. It's why people break down. So we're going to pick it up next week. And I think that you can grasp this and appreciate it because, again, God's word is so powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me 1 second here. I want to put something here. Let me see here. This one got by me here, people. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Give me 1 second. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. There we go. All right. So the soldier's perspective. Love and communication are so important. They're like a yin and yang, if you will, because they're connected. Not the opposition, but they're like in the sense of the connection. If you're going to be able to effectively communicate, your foundation should be based on love. It should be based on love. Everything we do, the word tells us, should be founded on love. When you're communicating with someone, you need to pose the question to yourself, am I doing this out of love or am I doing this out of my own self-gratification? When I talk to someone, as I heard one person say, I get them told. That's about you. For if you truly are trying to tell somebody something, it should be done in love, and you should be talking about love. Because when you're talking about love, you're talking about God. God is always effectively communicating to us. It comes down to, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we taking the time to listen? Too much even in our prayer. We're so busy babbling and talking about what we want and what we want him to do. We forget to make sure that we communicate to God in a way of listening to him. But as we get ready to close, I always want you to remember in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that God planned for us long ago. And again, if you haven't accepted Christ your personal Lord and Savior, take the pause for the call to receive him into your heart and say it, confess it to the world that you love God and that you're willing to turn your old life away and move into the new life that is full of abundance. And as always, I like to tell people that here at Kingdom Builders Up Institute, we have opportunities for you to come and be able to speak yourself. If you're a man of God and want to share, and you can contact us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can call us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And don't forget to sow into the ministry of www.giveify.com, GIVELIFAY.com. And as always, you pray for me, I pray for you. Let's continue to receive the effective communication that God wants us to have so that we can be victorious in all that we do. God bless you. God bless you.
How did I make it? all these years. How did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills, I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace.